Good morning. I'm Jane Benham, the Children's Ministry Coordinator here at Bona Vista Baptist, and I'm thrilled to be here sharing some time with you this morning. So you'll notice that I'm a little more comfortable on stage when I bring my amazing kids with me. So I thought it was important to still do that today and introduce us a little bit to our topic. I think we can learn a lot from our children. I know I do. Over the summer, I selected a series of lessons. The book was called The Kids' Travel Guide to the Lord's Prayer. I was excited to learn about prayer with our children and to practice praying together. I also thought it would be valuable to work through the sign language for prayer. You know, this is a way that would help our little ones to connect physically to what we were learning. As I looked ahead to the fall, I thought I might be able to write a sermon for you guys to share some of the things that we had learned. But you'll notice it's not fall anymore. Most of you know I had to take some time to undergo a surgery and a time of recovery. And so this topic has sat on my heart and mind for a while now. As we look ahead to our new year, just around the corner, I hope that doing a little review on how we can stay better connected to God this year through our prayer time would be valuable. One of the reasons that I love children's ministry is that I'm constantly challenged to study our Bible stories and characters and to find and ask interesting questions and to answer questions. I hoped that seeing the prayer signed and hearing some of our thoughts on prayer this morning would remind us that we're always learning together and that none of us is really a prayer expert. There are so many elements of prayer and aspects that we could and should touch on when we study prayer today. I noticed there are several sermons on YouTube that last hours and hours on this topic. So buckle up, folks. We could be here for a while. Seriously, though, I'd like us to take a few moments and consider our own personal experiences in prayer. Have you found it easy to talk to God? Ever struggled to make time for prayer? Has your experience changed over time? Are there certain times of prayer that stand out to you in your own experience? As I consider my experience, I remember feeling at some points as though I could talk to God all the time about everything. I think as a child, I liked to talk a lot. And so knowing that God was always listening just meant that I could talk all the time. And I could feel less alone when I moved to this country, settled in Montreal, and learned a new language. I could still speak to God. At a different point, I attended Baptist Women's Mission Society meetings. I was very aware of some of the women who were older than me in our group and what seemed their expertise in prayer. I remember feeling incapable of such depth and beautiful vocabulary in my own prayers. Would I ever be good at praying? I began to use songs and psalms to pray whenever I didn't really know what to say. During some difficult times in my life journey, I struggled again to find the words to pray. I think one of the keys in those times is to invite our brothers and sisters in Christ to pray for and with us. It's really important. As I spoke to some of you in the congregation, it's evident that prayer is important to all of us. I think for many of us, though, there have been times when finding the right words for prayer has been a challenge. What about your prayer postures? I've enjoyed praying while I sit and drive, while I walk through the park or the community with my puppy, when I lie down in bed in the morning, or before I go to sleep at night. At some points, when something is particularly important, I still find myself wanting to kneel. Perhaps at times, God appreciates a more penitent posture. The beautiful thing about studying prayer through the Bible is we can see many varied examples of people praying. Early in Genesis, Adam talks freely to God, but then they are separated. But already by the end of chapter 4, we read that people began to call again on the name of the Lord. We continue to learn about prayer all through the Bible, into the book of Revelation with the prayers of saints and martyrs being lifted as offering to God. We can study the prayers of many of God's followers. So let's spend a few minutes just looking at some examples from the Old Testament that I looked at when I was studying. Jacob, we see Jacob praying for deliverance from the hand of his brother Esau. We see Moses pleading with God on behalf of Israel. We see Hannah pray fervently for a child. We see King David. He has the most recorded prayers. These prayers cover a vast spectrum of human emotion and experience. He's constantly unafraid to express his heart and feelings to God. And I think we can learn from that, that God is not afraid of our feelings, that we can express ourselves to him no matter what. Solomon, he famously prayed for wisdom and discernment because he would govern the nation. Jonah, he prayed to be rescued from inside the great fish. We have many prophets who recorded mighty prayers of intercession for our nations. And in the New Testament, we have Mary singing a prayer, rejoicing in God and his blessing. Anna worshiping day and night, fasting and prayer and praying in the temple. Paul taught and exemplified prayer throughout his letters. And of course, Jesus. Jesus gave an example of a life of prayer. We see him rising early to pray, praying through the night, praying before meals, healings, and when facing big decisions. We know he prayed for the children, prayed for his disciples, and we'll return to this. He taught his disciples to pray. Through these examples, we can see a plethora of reasons why God's people prayed. Thanksgiving, guidance, healing, forgiveness, worship, lament, requests, dedication, safety. We can also see lots of postures of prayer: sitting, standing, kneeling, bowing with one's face to the ground, with one's hands lifted up. All this we learn from the Bible. Perhaps you've been at times nervous to pray, or you've felt intimidated or concerned about choosing the right words. Perhaps there's a specific situation that you are struggling in right now in terms of praying through it. I would suggest that you might find a prayer from the Bible that you could use that might help you to express yourself. All these biblical examples are given to teach us, guide us in our prayer life, and to let us know that there isn't really one perfect prayer that we have to access or deliver to God. Instead, we're just invited to talk to him all the time, any way, any place. God is inviting us to walk with him, to speak to him, and to sometimes just be silent and listen. This morning, I want to look at two specific prayers. So the first is the priestly blessing. This prayer stood out to me during my research, partly because it can be called the Lord's Prayer of the Old Testament. This prayer shows the heart of God to bless his people. So let's look together at Numbers 6, 22 to 27, if I can see it. I might read, I think that's NIV. I might read from a slightly different version, but it should still make sense. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons to bless the people of Israel with this special blessing. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show his favor and give you his peace. Whenever Aaron and his sons bless the people of Israel in my name, I myself will bless them." For those with an interest in archaeology, I wanted to share that in 1979, two tiny rolled silver amulets from the 7th century BC were found in a burial cave at Kitef Hinnom in Jerusalem. So they were carefully unraveled, and you can see on the image, they revealed a version of this passage in Paleo-Hebrew script. This is what we now know is the earliest known biblical text. It predates even the Dead Sea Scrolls. It's special to see how it was carefully inscribed. They found two of these matching amulets, and obviously they kind of come apart over time, but it's important to think that people carried these or they buried them with their loved ones because this was a special blessing. So let's learn a little bit more about it. God gave this prayer to Moses to give to Aaron and his descendants as they prayed over the ancient Israelites during their service time as priests. We can note that the Lord is translated from the Hebrew name for God, which is Yahweh, and pronouncing this over each sentence of the prayer is like sealing the message with a divine stamp. It reminds us that God is present. He's intimately involved in this blessing. He's providing for his people and he's keeping his covenant with them. God's precious name now covers all the recipients of the blessing. We have just been celebrating Christmas and God's beautiful gift of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. John 3:16 states that for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God invites you to believe, to share in his blessing. So there are three parts. You are blessed and kept. Every individual in the community is given a blessing from God. He will guard and protect us. God's face shines upon us. That means he's smiling on you. He has affection towards each of us. His grace is pouring out into our lives. God lifts his countenance upon us. That means he turns his full attention onto you as his person. And he gives you the gift of peace. Shalom, peace. Wow. Can we absorb that blessing that God is bestowing upon each one of us? Does feeling that blessing fill you with a desire to respond, to reach out, maybe say something to God? Let's approach prayer with the knowledge that God chooses each of us. He blesses each of us. And with God's blessings filling the depth of our being, now we can be filled with a desire to give thanks, to pray. We can turn to Jesus and we can say, how do I pray to God? So we know that when Jesus began his ministry, he chose his disciples, and at some point soon after, he took them up onto a hillside near Capernaum, and he spent many days preaching. See, folks, I could go on for a while. For days, he taught them on the Sermon on the Mount, and one of the things he taught was this next prayer that we will study today. So we're going to look at Matthew 6, 9 to 13 for the Lord's Prayer, which the kids have signed for us today. Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins, as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. This is a great prayer for us to memorize and learn sign language for, and use during some of our prayer time. The common thought is that this also gives us an outline that we can use for our personal prayers. There are five P words that we're going to look at to remind us of the five elements that we can have in our prayer. So in verse 9, we can see God's person. We name our mighty God, Father, King, Creator, Savior, Counselor, Prince of Peace, the one God whom we adore, worship, and exalt. What's your favorite name for God? How do you honor him? Praise and thanksgiving is important in our prayers. It can center on God's character and on his work in our world and in our lives. I sometimes pray or sing Psalm 100 as it inspires me in thanksgiving. The Lord is good. His love endures forever. Prayers of worship can continue no matter how we feel or what circumstances we face. When we make time to look upon our amazing God and his awesome work, our circumstances and feelings will grow strangely dim. Let's think about that again. When we look beyond our circumstances and we take time to just focus on God, who he is, our perspective will change. We can rest. Next, we look at verse 10. We pray for God's plan, his kingdom. We have been invited to be part of God's kingdom, and we invite his rule now here in our lives and our world. I like this quote by Gary Miller. Prayer is a means of communion with God, but far more often it is simply asking God to do what he has already promised to do. We want to see God act to fulfill his promises as he advances his plan of redemption in our world. We ask that God's desires and plans come to be, that we can join in his work. We pray to learn more about his will so that our prayers will align with his heart. This kind of prayer takes practice. I got lots of P words today. Will we submit to his guidance in our lives? Do we give up control of the circumstances that surround us and accept his blessing, his leadership, his plans, and his blessing of peace? In verse 11, Jesus tells us to ask for God to provide for the daily needs that we have. Bring it all to God. We can lay it down before him because he wants to hear it, even though he knows already. It will help us when we bring our daily needs to him, and we have the knowledge that he will work it all out according to his kingdom and his plans. The story we used with the children was from Numbers 11. We learned that the Israelites were given manna from God each day. It wasn't enough to save some for tomorrow. It was just for today. And Jesus wants us to focus on today. Sometimes our next step. Try not to get too far ahead of ourselves, making so many requests to God days, weeks, months down the line. We can learn to count on his plans, his provision, and take things one step at a time. We know that he can and will do amazing things when we align ourselves to God's will, more than we can fathom, and enough that our gifts will overflow to others. We read that in 2 Corinthians 9:8. In verse 12, we are taught to pray about pardon, forgiveness. This is a tricky one. We are asked to be conscious of our own wrongdoings, to take time to lay bare our sin. Before we even do so, we have received God's mercy and his forgiveness. Next, we're asked to extend that forgiveness to others. I personally think it's important to be really specific, to talk to God about the people that we are working to forgive. Forgiveness is not an easy concept ever, but it does help to name things and to work through them with the Holy Spirit as our guide. I'll add here that sometimes we can get good help from human sources when we work through forgiving ourselves and others. It can be a really critical thing to talk through, sometimes even with counselors or trusted Christian friends. In verse 13, we call upon God's guidance, his strength, his protection. I found an interesting article from C.S. Lewis that reflected on "Lead us not into temptation." He notes that the Greek word perasmos leads him to translate the petition as "make straight our paths." Spare us where possible from all crises, whether of temptation or affliction. I found it interesting that when looking at this part of the prayer with our children, the lesson reminded us that we're on a path. When we follow God, temptation can be those things that come at us. And we have a choice to make. Will we stray from the path? Will we go over this way, following this thing? Or will we keep our focus on God, our light, our strength? God will rescue and protect us. He will deliver us from evil. He will give us the strength to stick to the path. We pray that the powers of evil be bound, that the Holy Spirit protect and guide us. Closing our prayers with these requests realigns us to God's will and His plan for our lives and our world. So Jesus also mentioned a couple of what not to do's. I should point them out. Back in Matthew 6, verses 5 through 8, Jesus warned against being showy, hypocritical, and overly wordy in prayer. Prayer should not be a way for us to get attention or look good. Our prayers should not be shallow or filled with fancy words like I thought they should be when I was younger. We don't need to keep repeating ourselves over and over and over again. God knows what we need. He wants us to ask Him. He wants us to be genuine. He wants us to be humble when we're engaging in prayer. So, in the priestly blessing, we saw that God prayed over us, and He invited us into His family. He blesses us with His affection, attention, His peace. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught us to pray so that we can now lean into God's person, His presence, worship Him, receive His plans, provision, pardon, and protection. I just want to also look at the role of the Holy Spirit in our prayer. Before He's betrayed and arrested, Jesus tells His followers that He will soon leave them and that the Holy Spirit will be sent. He says that the Spirit of God will be at work in us and will teach and guide us. As God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are one, they have full knowledge of one another. The Holy Spirit will be the one who keeps us connected to God and bring us teaching, discernment, and produce fruit in our lives. When we choose to follow Jesus, the Spirit joins with us in our journey, helping us as we pray. Paul teaches in Romans 8, 26 and 27, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. I find it so reassuring to know that I have a guide who will guide me in the truth. God reaches into our world through prayer in the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, my prayers don't have to be perfect. I think a key to living a life of prayer and praying constantly is to invite the Holy Spirit to guide our path. So the challenge is, first thing in the morning before your feet hit the floor, just a simple invitation, Holy Spirit, lead me, guide me. We have a wonderful counselor who connects us directly to God. He reminds us of Jesus' teachings, and He guides us in our prayers and in our lives. Priscilla Shirer speaks passionately about the power we have through prayer, and she says, prayer allows God's presence to rest on you, empowering you to fulfill your purpose and to see His glory displayed. I love that. So let's go back to the first prayer. God is praying a blessing over you right now. His face shines upon you. He is giving you His full attention. Through the gift of His Son, He invites you into His family. Will you respond by approaching him in prayer? It may be tentative. The words don't have to be fancy. He just wants to hear from an honest you. Can you find comfort in knowing that he sees you? Will you also find peace when you turn your gaze back to him? Jesus wants us to know, through the consistency of prayer that he modeled in his life, as well as the many things he taught us to pray about, that God cares about all of it. He wants to hear everything that's on our hearts. He wants us to pray lots, all through the circumstances that we face in our day. We can praise God. We can invite his kingdom plans. We can receive his provision, pardon, and protection whenever we need them. All of these prayers that we offer up sincerely are beautiful to him. In John 14:27, Jesus says that through the Holy Spirit, he leaves us his peace. The Holy Spirit will connect us to God, teach us how to pray, and guide us along a fruit-filled path. We are helped as we present our concerns to God with a grateful heart. As we practice a prayerful life, the Spirit will bring discernment, and that will lead to some divine calm. I invite you to enter the new year grounded in God's affection for you, striving towards Jesus' exemplary life of prayer, and inviting the guidance and power of the Holy Spirit while we reach out into our world. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son into this world, for welcoming us into your presence. We ask you to hear our innermost thoughts and to deepen the Holy Spirit's fire in our hearts. You alone are worthy of our praise and our prayers. Reveal to us your joy and presence as we enter this new year ahead. Lead and guide us as we strive to trust you at all times and to share your love, joy, peace, and hope within our communities. Amen.